This morning's Hebrew lesson is from Psalm 145, verse 13b through 19. It's found on page 544 in your Pew Bible, if you would like to follow along, but I will be reading a different translation. God, you are faithful in all your words and gracious in all your deeds. You uphold all who are falling and raise up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing. You are just in all your ways and kind in all your doings. You are near to all who call on you, to all who call on you in truth. You fulfill the desire of all who look to you. You also hear their cry and save them. Amen.
Our gospel passage this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 36 through 48. While they were talking about how Jesus had appeared to them on the road to Emmaus, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your heart? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. He said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It may not be obvious quite at first, but this morning's gospel passage is actually really funny. I didn't hear anyone laugh, though, when I read it. No? This passage picks up right where last week's left off, the two disciples who had walked to Emmaus, accompanied by a Jesus they didn't recognize until he shared a meal with them. They have run back to Jerusalem to share the news that, just as the women at the tomb said, Jesus is alive. They are all discussing this amazing turn of events when Jesus shows up. And although they've just been told twice in one day that Jesus is back, instead of being thrilled that they too get to experience the risen Jesus in person, they think they've seen a ghost. Can you imagine, from Jesus' point of view, trying to assure the disciples? "Guys, it's really me. Now, I promise, I'm not a ghost." Nothing. "Come on, touch my hands and my feet, since ghosts don't have real bodies, right?" "No? Nobody? Anybody got something to eat?" "Thank you, Bartholomew. You can pick your jaw up off the floor now. Thank you for that piece of fish." "See, ghosts don't eat fish, do they?" That finally must have convinced them, because that's when Jesus launches into a theology lesson, opening their minds to the scriptures. By the way, if any of you have qualms about attending Bible study, which starts up again this week, this should erase them, because if the disciples had to have Jesus explain it to them, you know it's okay for us to need some help too. I love that fish is what did the trick. The act of eating, something they must have done hundreds, maybe even thousands of times with Jesus as they traveled the countryside with him, suddenly brings everything into focus. Lets everyone take a breath, breaks the spell, if you will. It's so ordinary, which is maybe why it's so reassuring. After all, as we talked about with the kids this morning, it's something that we all do. We eat, we share food, we break bread. Yet twice, last week in the breaking of the bread and this week in the sharing of the fish, it becomes the very act which opens our eyes to the divine standing right next to us. Although our family has really loved being back in New England, there are a few things that I miss about Atlanta, our former home. For example, it has been in the 60s and 70s this week there, and even hit 84 one day. I'm just saying. Spring actually came on time there. Another thing we miss is our favorite restaurants. I'm sure if you have ever lived someplace or vacationed year after year someplace, you know that feeling of going to your favorite places over and over again and ordering that thing you love, and nowhere else makes it quite the same way. Chris and I have joked that whenever we end up going back to visit friends, we're really just going to plan our itinerary around hitting our favorite restaurants. My personal favorite is the tofu banh mi at Lee's Vietnamese Bakery. It's a chewy, delicious tofu with tangy pickled carrots and daikon on fresh French bread. It's a sandwich. And it has just the right amount of thick, creamy mayo on it, topped with crisp cilantro and fresh jalapenos, and it only costs $3.50. Or what we more normally ordered, buy five, get the sixth free. I'm not ashamed to say that the woman at the counter knew me by sight and voice and name. I would call up and say, hi, can I get six tofu bun? Yeah, yeah, okay, Leo, we'll have your order ready in 20 minutes. Bye. We ate there a lot. It was just around the corner from our house. We would eat there when we were too tired to cook after church or when family came to visit. We bought those sandwiches in bulk to thank generous friends who helped us move into the first home we owned. We had them for lunch on the day that I went into labor with Davy. It was the only thing that sounded good. And we bought them along with us to christen the new home of dear friends just before we moved here, sitting on the floor around their coffee table since there was nowhere else to eat, not wanting to finish the last flaky bite because we knew it would mean it was time to say goodbye. I think Jesus knew that even though food is so everyday, it can also be sacred, marking moments of connection and revelation. Think of the favorite dish your grandmother always made, and nobody else in the family can get it quite right. Think about the funny-looking animal pancakes you made your kids when they were little. Mine always end up looking like a different animal than Davy asks for, but she still eats them. Think about the first time you tasted Brussels sprouts roasted instead of boiled, right? Or think about the holiday meals that mark the gathering of family and the passing of the years. I think Jesus even suspected that food has the power to open us up to change. I've told this story before, but it's such a good one that I'm going to tell it again. There is a great scene in the animated movie Ratatouille, where an icily superior food critic, aptly named Anton Ego, tastes some ratatouille, that simple roasted vegetable dish, a peasant dish from the south of France, and he's transported back to a childhood memory of a bicycle accident and skinned knees. Like Proust and his Madeleine, Anton vividly relives standing on the threshold of his boyhood home, lower lip quivering and eyes filling with tears from his accident. In his mind's eye, his mother turns toward him, and when she sees his disheveled face and skinned knees, her face melts with tenderness. She gently ushers him to the table, gives him a hug, and comforts him with a steaming bowl of ratatouille. Back in the present, something is unlocked inside Anton Ego, and his smugness and his disdain suddenly give way to joy and curiosity and enthusiasm. His entire being is transformed by a mouthful of food. Did you notice the commission that Jesus gave the disciples at the end of his theology lecture? He tells them that the Messiah was to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in my name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. He's essentially telling the disciples to spread the word about a new understanding of God, a God who forgives us and sets us free from the things we thought had poisoned our lives forever. A God who wants to upend our world with the idea that God's love is stronger than death. A God who invites us to reorient ourselves around that kind of holy one, that kind of love, so that our lives might be completely transformed, like Anton Ego thawed out from his bitter, detached emptiness into a life of conviviality and relationship. Metanoia, by the way, the Greek word we translate as repent, simply literally means to change your mind, to change your orientation. Jesus isn't talking about when he says repentance and forgiveness of sin shall be preached. He's not talking about groveling on our knees. He's talking about opening our hearts to new possibilities. And it's not just their fellow Jews, understood at the time to be God's chosen people, who will get to transform their lives in this way, to open their hearts this way. This opportunity is for all nations, which is ancient speak for everybody. That's me. That's you. So how does this work? In some ways, it's as simple as eating a sandwich. We can rush through our food, eating drive-through in our cars. I did that this week twice. Or stuffing our faces as we scramble to get out the door in the morning. Or, like we talked about with the kids this morning, we can take in the sights, the smells, the flavors of our meal and savor each bite and the people with whom we are enjoying the meal. We can rush through our days thinking of what's next on our to-do list or dwelling in fear of what people will think of us or stuck in patterns of resentment and pain that we activate without any thought. Or we can pause, breathe, and sink into God's good presence, savoring God's love for us, God's healing acceptance of us just as we are. We can do that as often as we eat or drink. Communion is the ultimate version of that meal, one that may not get high marks for flavor or generous portioning, but rather it's stripped down to its essentials so that we might focus ourselves on opening our hearts to transformation that comes when we are assured that we are not alone, that we are freed, that we are loved, and that things can be different. Returning to this morning's scripture, we may chuckle at the disciples' slack-jawed disbelief, because we have the benefit of knowing how the story ends. It really is Jesus, you guys. Come on, get with the program. But don't we all sometimes fall prey to living like Jesus is a ghost? An unbelievable figment of our imagination instead of a presence as real as our food. One who can reorient us at every moment to the good news of new life in God's transformative, all-encompassing love for us. Though I usually like to just say no to stress and to what-ifs, I don't have enough fingers to count the times in the last week or two when I've gnawed on my worries like a dog with a bone. that my sermon wouldn't get written because I couldn't find the right story, that I wasn't thoughtful enough with the wording of that email and someone was going to misunderstand, that I wouldn't have time to make the pastoral visits that I wanted to make, and that dear people in our community would feel neglected, that I wouldn't have enough time to get everything done today that needs to happen before we go to a funeral this afternoon in another state. To listen in on my thoughts lately, you would have thought Jesus was a ghost, a phantom flitting in and out of my life with no real substance. But luckily, today after worship, we'll gather to take communion, and I'll be reminded that Jesus is as real as bread or fish, and that his abundant spirit is real enough to calm my fears and to help me let go of my anxieties and to ease my guilt over things undone. I'll be reminded that Jesus is as real as that tofu banh mi, which, although it's not right in front of me, I can picture in such detail that I start to salivate. All I need to do is picture Jesus' face with that much realism and detail. Jesus' face smiling, maybe even tenderly laughing at how hard it is to convince me that he's alive. His hand reaching out to show me it's true. Maybe you, along with me, will be transformed once again by the sharing of a simple meal. Amen.